Team Roy, what is your central motive to visit Germany just before the G20 meeting?
Well, you know, G20 is a very important political event in the sense that one of the most big countries, powerful economics, head of the states, or you know, dignitaries come here for a summit to kind of reflect upon what's the situation in the world, in the economics. So it's very important that the labor perspective and the representative of labor also have a voice in this kind of summit. We know we are not in the official summit, but I think the alternative summit is a way of expressing and letting the world know what is the situation and how people's movement and labor movement are reflecting on the things that are happening in the world.
What's the situation of the labor movement in India? And your union tries to organize the informal workers.
Yes. One is that, like many other countries in Asia, and I think similar in Latin America and Africa, the labor movement in most of the Asian countries, and so in my country, is having a massive effort to really organize themselves. Some of the gains of the labor movement that existed earlier has been eroded in the last two decades with the new globalization and the kind of offensive that has happened with the rights of the labor in most of the countries. In my country, which is one of the largest economics and has a very large section of workers who are working in the informal sector, what it other ways means that they are neither covered by the legal rights, or sometimes when legal rights exist, they cannot exercise it in the way they should have right to exercise it. It's also important to understand that most of these countries in developing nations, as well as in my own country, there's a fairly repressive regime that exists so far as labor is concerned. A normal course which you in Europe you might have had, where the labor and the companies or the informal employers have a relationship where they can sit down and discuss and find out solutions to their common problem. Most of the time in my country, it is very difficult to even organize the workers into a union. The effort of really organizing the informal sector is not just a way, it's not a just question of really allowing workers to get into a union. More than that, it's actually addressing the very negative and very repressive policies that actually impede the rights of the workers, both in terms of formation of the union as well as getting legal benefits and wage rises in my country. So the question in G20 summit or among the G20 countries is almost a common, that they have all supported a kind of labor flexibility regime which actually takes away the rights of the workers both in developing countries and in developed countries. The degree of that flexibility could be different in different countries, and so the countries which have gained something might drop in unevenly in different ways in different countries, but most of the workers in my countries are still at a very low level of poverty level wages, are still in situation where they don't have simple living conditions like housing, sanitation, food. Food poverty is still one of the biggest issues of my country. Now, how do the G20 countries expect to solve these issues? They still believe that the markets will solve these issues. They don't understand and they don't have any idea that you need a political process, a way of allowing people to make choices and allowing people to impact the policies of their countries, which affects their rights, which means food, which means wages, which means housing, which means social security. And I think those are the issues that the G20 is the least bothered about.
What are the main reasons for the weakening of the union movement in the world?
One of the main grounds of the weakening of the union movement in the world is that essentially all social rights and political rights that have been gained in the first three decades after the Second World War has been, you know, made into a flexible method, mechanism, which in another sense, the gains that you had have been pushed to the market. And so the prevailing conditions in the market of labor, which means low wages, which means low conditions and low rights, is what is happening. And this is not something that has happened spontaneously. This has happened by policies of the government. World Bank reports, the OECD's reports, all have taken a decision to really create a flexible regime, both through the policies of the state and allowing repressive regimes to come over different parts of the world. So in some sense, the flexibilization of the labor rights, and in some sense, you have created a market for low labor rights regime. So the business will go to those countries and those places where there are low labor rights. So labor rights itself has become a market in the new phase of globalization. And that has been totally induced by the G20 countries and institutions of the global business.
Is it necessary to change the economic model of the world? And do you think that this is a possibility with G20?
Well, I think we need to change the global model of economics. There's no doubt about it. The people everywhere, the majority of people in both developing countries and developed countries know what are the consequences of this economic model. And I think there is not a single country in the world where protests and opposition to this model has not taken place. So we don't expect, really, honestly, that the G20 countries will change this course of action unless the people's movement, the social movement, the labor movement in each of these countries can open up democratic spaces and force the government to engage with the people in a democratic way. Not just questions of election, but also engage with the people, talk to what their needs are, make institutions where workers and people can sit down and think and shape the things. Now, that is going to be a very long struggle, but a struggle that the people of most of these countries are willing to take, and are willing to take the risk of doing that.
How many members has your union?
My union represents roughly, it's one of the younger federation, but a very dynamic, and one which organizes both the formal sector and the informal sector. We are roughly about 100,000.
Thanks a lot. What do you expect from the Alternative Summit?
Well, one is to really have a sense of what's really happening in other parts of the world. And I think it's important to have the spaces because it allows people in the ground, people in different countries and different movements to come and share their experiences, learn what can be common. But more than that, I think to understand what could be common strategies and what could be really an evolving strategies that we all can be together and share. And I think there are lots of examples where we have unitedly worked against companies, we have unitedly worked against mining companies when they are doing, you know, totally illegal activities or illegal processes. We also have new kinds of bargaining happening, which is built on global supply chain framework, which means that companies which are sourcing from different countries in the world, and garment is a very interesting example of it, because, you know, there's hardly any companies in Germany which would be producing garments, but they all are selling garments. And most of them are produced in Bangladesh, in India, China, Indonesia. And so we have actually building up alliances of the unions in those producing countries to be able to bargain with the companies in northern countries. So those are the kind of examples that show the possibility of common strategies and common actions. I'm going to really enjoy the idea of coming into this nice city and meeting some of the great people of the movements, what's happening at the bottom of the ladder. And I'm sure we're going to find out some really common interests in going forward. I'm going to be here till Sunday, and I want to join that big demonstration that people are planning to have on 8th. I'm not sure how the government and how the police authorities are going to give permission and what is going to happen, but whatever happens, I'm going to be there.